Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast.
We're two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing our way through parenthood, life, and owning creative businesses. I'm Shaylee Murphy, a video producer, interior designer, and mom of one.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer, comedy writer, and performer, and mom of three.
Welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm sure you've tuned in because you read the title and were like,
I want that.
I need me some of that.
You know what? They probably did because we take boring topics and we make them
fun. Less boring?
Approachable?
Tonight we're going to be tackling really exciting admin tasks and tips from the creative other side of the brain, ways to tackle them, which I feel like me explaining it is the way that a lot of us attempt to do it. No. But anyway, creative entrepreneurs, admin tasks, bookkeeping, how to not get arrested, owning your own business, and getting paid by clients.
That's good.
But first.
Oh, yes.
We've been sponsored.
Yes. Oh, such a great sponsor this week.
It is a good sponsor.
Universal, multi-language barrier breaker.
Right. It's like the singing of business.
Mm-hmm.
It's cross-cultural.
Right.
So this episode is brought to you by...
Checkmarks!
Checkmarks.
Checkmarks.
What's more satisfying than a checkmark?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Literally nothing.
Literally nothing.
You write down something you need to do.
And
you
check
you
it.
You do it.
You check it.
Even when you're done doing it, you're like, I did it, but like...
It doesn't feel finished.
I need closure.
And then you... I feel like I need a small symbol.
And then checkmark appears and he goes... May I be of service to you? And then you make those two little lines.
And you always push it a little bit harder.
Do you make a check mark or do you cross through the whole thing?
Sometimes I cross through the whole
thing. Do you ever make a circle at the beginning of it and X through it?
I X through it. Sometimes I fill in the bubble.
Like a scantron?
Sometimes I make a square and I get fancy. And
check marks
I
are like, whoa, 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 whoa!
Don't get fancy.
That's not what I'm doing here.
We're the old school check mark.
If this is your first episode, you... maybe know that we have a lot of sponsors beating down our door.
There are lines of them.
But this week, we were very surprised to hear from Checkmark. They wrote us a letter.
Yeah. It was actually a list. They wrote us a list of the reasons
Dear that Shaylee,
checked
check.
Off of why we should use them for a sponsor.
Check. Yeah, that's good. So we need some taglines for Checkmarks.
Okay. Checkmarks. Thanks for giving me anxiety from spelling tests in middle school.
Oh.
Check marks.
That was before we turned it and made them work for us.
That's when check marks worked like, for no, my no. teacher.
Yes. I wonder if she felt the same way. She's like, ha ha!
Check.
Wrong again, Shaylee.
Yeah.
You're like, I used to stutter and I've come along.
Right. I don't know if you know this about me. I'm pretty sure nowadays I could like have had them fired. I don't know if spelling and stuttering have anything in common, but...
Why are there so many T's in this word?
It's not so okay. Terrible.
That's not okay. I'm so sorry.
It's only okay if I make it.
I know.
That's how this works.
I feel terrible.
We can act like that was Shaylee making the mean joke about stuttering for the record.
I'm going to write down check on my list right here. Make horrible joke. Okay.
Check. Good. Check.
Got that done.
You did it.
Apologize. I'm sorry, see. Shaylee. Check.
Stop it. Check marks.
Taglines. Check marks. I don't work on a scantron.
Check marks. Thanks for letting me know which brands are the real quality dairy. Check marks.
Ooh. You spun it.
I spun that.
You spun it.
I spun it like the churned sour cream.
Oh, buddy.
All right.
Thanks,
Checkmarks. Thanks for helping us feel accomplished.
Yes, definitely.
That's great. So speaking of checkmarks, ironically, it worked out so well. This topic is fascinating.
You're kind of acting like, I'm sorry, guys. It's admin task. I'm like on the edge of my seat. I'm so ready. I need this. I'm excited because I know when I get done hearing it, I'm already like going to be like, all right, all those admin tasks I've been putting off, I'm going to do them. I'm pre-excited. You're going to change my life. There's no pressure. Change my life. Go ahead.
No pressure. I'm going to approach it with the disclaimer that I am not an admin professional. However, I feel like I do possess the kind of weird both sides of the brain.
Yeah.
Where I am on the creative side, so I understand the struggle with admin tasks. But I also kind of have the weirdo side of my brain that I'm like, let's make a spreadsheet.
Yes.
And Jonathan's like, we have 40 spreadsheets and we've not done the thing, so let's just do it and we'll worry about the spreadsheets later. So I handle that side of our video production company, and then also my interior design company that I have separate.
Two business licenses.
Very nice. Anyway, I have learned so much over the last 8 or so years that when I started, even though I was like naturally maybe more gifted than some creatives in that area, mm-hmm. I'm by no means like an accountant brain. But I've learned so much that sometimes I feel like I don't know a lot, and then I talk to someone starting out, and then I'm like, oh, maybe I know more than I think sometimes on that.
Totally, I think you do. And you can translate for people like me.
Well, you know. So we're going to start off with tips for, let's say, you're starting a creative business, mm-hmm. or you've half started one and you're at the point where you're like, well, I'm making money. Like, should it be a business? Should I be doing anything? Should I be, I'm just kind of taking people's money at this point, but it should probably be doing something with it.
Yeah. So getting legit.
Yeah. So I think the, you need to have an actual legit business range is, I think someone told me if you're making over like $500 or $600. So that's why, like, if you're babysitting and you're 12 or whatever, you're fine, even though you're probably making more than that nowadays.
Vanessa.
But if you're like, I'm just selling little things on Etsy, but then, like, you calculate it up and you're making, like, $7,500, then, you know, you should probably figure out a legal way because you have a business.
You got a business.
Even if you're only making $600, you still have a business. And it's good to do it the right way from the start. Mm-hmm. If you're 6 years into business and this is all new to you, which we can giggle about, but probably also true, mm-hmm. Like, you need to get it together.
Right.
Because that's when
it might catch up with you.
It will catch up with you. Right. Eventually it will catch up with you. So getting started. Numbers are important. They're how we stay in business.
It's true. Embrace them. They're yes. friends.
Should have been brought to you by numbers. Numbers. Get us a number. So even if you're small, or if you're growing quickly, pay attention to the numbers. I would suggest getting a separate bank account. Mm-hmm. Even if it's, I think legally, if it's a sole proprietor business, you can have one bank account and use your personal since it's your name or whatever. But unless your bank's going to charge you an outrageous fee, it's just so much easier.
Right.
You don't have to be like making, you know, $5,000 a month on your business to need a separate bank account. It's just, it's easier. It's actually doing you a favor, where I think a lot of people look at it like, it's going to be hard to get a separate bank account and I'm not that big yet. I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. But what you're doing is if you go to Target and you're getting paper clips and paper and printer ink and a cute shirt and 9 things out of the dollar bin you don't need.
Right.
Then you put the 9 things out of the dollar bin you don't need in the shirt on your one card, and the lady's really nice, and you go, hey, these are going to be on separate cards, and that's not weird. And then you put the business stuff on your business card, and then what you've done is you've created an account where 100% of that account is a business write-off, mm-hmm. so when you're keeping track of it, because you're also doing that, we'll learn about that in a second, you have it all in one place, and it's easy. You're not going through, like, $5.99, $3.99, $1.99, $99, like, what was for business? I don't know. So anyway, that makes it easy. And even if you're super, super tiny, then at the end of the year, if you're doing TurboTax or if you're going to see a professional or whatever, you can print off all those statements from the last 12 months if you're not doing what you should be and keeping them else anywhere else, and save your receipts and whatever. So, bank account. That was one thing.
Boom.
The other thing is get a program. Help yourself. Mm-hmm. Get a program to track everything. You can use the old school spreadsheets, and it's not a terrible idea, but I would say if you're not gifted in the way of bookkeeping and accounting and doing all of that.
It requires a lot of self-discipline, so be honest with yourself.
Yeah, it requires self-discipline. And honestly, for my interior design business, I use spreadsheets. I don't use a software system, but at the end of the year, it makes my life harder. Where I look at it like, oh, it'd be harder to get a program.
Or you don't want to pay the monthly fee.
We use, for our video production company, QuickBooks. And we just use like the $12.99 version, and we've used it for like since 2010, I mm-hmm. think. And it has everything there. And full disclosure, when we first started with it, I thought, awesome, this software makes my invoices for me. That's cool. Like, it makes my invoices.
Right.
And that's all I thought that it did.
Right.
It's like an invoice making system.
Right.
Which is really great when you've been typing up your own invoices. But when I came on with the business, Jonathan had everything saved on like his desktop.
Right.
I believe.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, and I literally was, where is everyone? and then every time you have to do an invoice, you're like, you either have an invoice template saved and you're like remaking a new one or whatever. Right. But if you're getting to the point where you're invoicing people mm-hmm. on like a weekly basis even, like pay the $12 or there's a whole bunch of really cool options out there of bookkeeping software that's there to help you. I think people mm-hmm. look at it and they think that's complicated and I don't want to learn it. But yeah. you don't have to do every feature of it. But there's a lot of easy features that even if you start like, I'm just going to use it for my invoices.
Right.
And I'm going to input my bank account, even though I have 6 items I buy a month or whatever. Right.
But it's all right there.
Yeah, it's
invest, all right there. Invest the time up front to watch the little video, watch the tutorial, get really comfortable with it. And then you're going to ultimately save yourself way more time in the long run.
Way more
time. If you're intimidated by it, there's always little videos for layman's terms
how to
use this for dummies.
Oh my goodness, Google.
Yeah,
a little thing called Google exists.
Wait a minute, what is it?
I'll explain it after. Okay. After we get off this.
What is,
Google it. Anyway, so I would just say it invoices the clients, it sends them a fancy little email, it says the information, and then you can go through like your profit loss. Mm-hmm. We can hook our cards up to it. Mm-hmm. QuickBooks is not an official sponsor, by the way. I just love it. You can hook the credit cards up to it, and it inputs everything. You can look at your accounts receivable. So even though we don't have like hundreds of clients that we're working with on a regular basis, there's sometimes that I forget to invoice someone the second amount or something.
Right.
And I can go on there and look at the, you know, look at the projects, look at the outstanding invoices. It can send little reminders. Right. So it looks like it's the computer. It's not me.
Right, exactly.
Clients that are listening know that I send that reminder.
But that is very helpful for a people pleaser because money is very uncomfortable.
You got to remind them to pay you. And then there's options. They can pay you through wire transfer, credit card, or depending on what you accept or whatever. So anyway, very helpful. And then also if you get to the point where it's all at least somewhat in there, and mm-hmm. then you meet with a CPA or someone at the end of the year, and they say, what's your profit loss? And you're like, I have no idea. They can pull it up. Like,
right.
It exists in there, even if you don't know that it's there.
Right.
And also, small business owners, if you're wanting to get a car loan or to buy a home or whatever.
Right, you have to produce that.
They want to see your profit loss if it's in the middle of the year, so you can't be like, last year I made this much money.
Right.
They're going to be like, what have you been doing the last 8 months? Because we need to see where you're at this year. Anyway, so get a program and track everything. One in the same, or if you want to do spreadsheets, go for it, person. But you're probably not the person that needs this. So, and if you're on like a zero budget and you're like not profitable yet, then, you know, you don't have to be. I don't want to like muscle you into it. But the thing about money and numbers and understanding where you're at, I think it's like 50% of new businesses don't last the first year mm-hmm. or something. It's not to be like wah, wah. But it doesn't mean that that's going to be you. But it means to be on the upside of that, you have mm-hmm. to like, you know, be watching your stuff. And I would also say, this is just random business advice that's kind of going off topic, but don't spend a ton of money and take out a huge business loan up front. And then, because then you're basically like digging yourself a hole before you've even gotten started.
Mm-hmm.
And you're having to like, you're always behind. So mm-hmm. I would just say start small and manageable. And as money comes in, that's when you reinvest into your business.
Mm-hmm.
And then as money comes in, then you're getting the write-off for taxes and you have it all in your bookkeeping software. So it's easy. Easy peasy. Okay. Now, organizing how you actually go about tracking this information.
Okay.
And the administrative tasks that every small business owner needs to do to be successful.
Let's hear it. I'm going to feel really convicted during this.
Well, watch your budget. I just segued into that one.
Mm-hmm.
Watch your budget, and it doesn't... Small business isn't like going, you know, out to eat and your life budget. So it's one that's more like plan ahead, if you have a bank account, you're going to have to pay taxes at the end of the year or quarterly or however you have it set up. So just be mindful of it. Because I think a lot of times creatives, if there's something that they don't understand, which I'm totally guilty of, instead of like pushing through and figuring it out, if it scares me, I'm like, nah, I'm just not going to think about it. I just want to think about it. I'm just going to keep working and working and making money. And I feel like I'm making good money because it's coming in. Well, if you're coming from a job where your taxes were withheld and you felt like I'm making the same money as when I was working there. Yeah, but you're going to end up having to pay, you know, 30% of that or whatever to taxes.
Right.
And then another 10%, 20% might go to your overhead or your project costs or that kind of thing. So really you need to look at it. Maybe 60% of that is actually what you're making.
Right.
So you might need to charge more or you might need to look at what you're doing and see what's profitable. And then are these handmade baby footies that I'm making when I calculate the hours of how long it takes me to make them and what I'm selling them for on Etsy, I'm making like $5 a day. So if you're doing something like that, if you enjoy it and you can afford to make $5 a day, like more power to you if it's a passion project. But if you're like, I'm making $5 a day for the baby booties, but then when I go to these craft shows, I'm killing it with these little painted things that take way less time.
Right.
Then do more of the painted things and make the baby booties if it makes you feel good, but give them away as gifts for baby showers. This is a good note. The same thing, cash flow. This one is also common. Don't spend money that people have paid you to do work for them on other people's work before you've done the work on the project you're paid for. I think this is really common in construction. So just keeping track of it, this is how it relates to admin. When you're keeping track of things, you don't get as often into the tight spots where you feel like you have to. Because I don't think anyone's like, I'm going to take money from this person and spend it to finish this person's job. But like if you look at video production, we have to buy, you know, pay people for a voiceover, music licenses. Sometimes we have to rent equipment for a shoot. We might have to pay models. There's money that we have to output to create the product. So let's say we're charging $100 for a video, which we don't. So don't email me wanting me to do a video for $100. I'll say no. But a video for $100, well, let's say we charge 50% up front. Okay. So they've written us a check for $50.
Right.
And then we have this other project going on too that we need to like output a whole bunch of money to. And I use like all of that $50 to finish out this other project. And then we get really tight. Well, now the people who've paid us $50 and like need their finished product, now I'm like, oh man, I really need the second 50% of that. I really need that other $50. But they're like, no, I paid you the $50, so you can take the $20 that you need to do the project out of that $50. But then you're pushing them, and then you book another client so you can take their 50% payment to pay off the second part. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. So okay. I guess
it's called robbing Peter to pay Paul. And it's how people in the home industry got in trouble, because what would happen is they would basically, you get to the point where you pressure people for a lot of money up front. So then I might charge my next client, hey, can I have 100% up front? And then I take that money and I use it to finish out my other jobs or for cash flow or to pay myself or whatever, pay my bills. And then you have to like borrow the money to pay the hard cost to create the product for them. And it puts you in a bad position. And then sometimes it makes you push the deadline back for your client when it's not your client's fault. Your client paid you.
Right. So how do you avoid it?
You don't get in over your head. That's kind of the thing about, you want to feel big. You want to get an office space. You want to like have all of this equipment. I mean, in the tech industry, it's a lot harder, you know, easier to spend money. But like, let's say I want a whole wall of yarn balls hoarded up for all of my projects. And I want a big loom I'm making myself a weaver. And I want a space downtown that looks really cool and it has like an open to the front. And then I'm going to pay somebody to make a website for me with e-commerce hooked on because Etsy's not good enough. I want my own website.
Right.
And they're going to only charge me $7,500, you know, or whatever. So you do all that. And then, I mean, weaving maybe isn't good. But then, like, let's say someone commissions a piece.
Right.
And they commission this piece with really expensive yarn. And you take that money to help pay for your storefront, the first 50%.
Right, okay.
And then they're like, where's my weaving? And you're like, oh, my bank account this month, I don't even have enough money to order that expensive yarn they wanted for their weaving.
Gotcha.
But they've already paid me 50%, so I can't ask them for the second 50% for the yarn I need to buy, because they're going to be like, that's what the first 50% was for. So anyway, that might be really in-depth. But that's just kind of a personal Like, it's just something I've seen a lot.
But you've not personally experienced doing it.
We've not
right.
necessarily done it in, like, a large scale. I mean, there's times where, that's why I say don't ever charge anybody 100% up front.
Because it's gone?
Well, it's hard to work for something you've been paid for. You need, like, the carrot dangling at the end of the...
I make that joke at the beginning of photo shoots. Yeah. Like, hey, I have your check written. I was like, ugh, I just all motivation. You gotta wait till the end to give me that.
But at the same time,
That's a joke, everyone.
Don't get started
without 50%.
Without 50% or some sort of deposit to hold the date, because then you'll get burned the other way. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's also happened, and that's super common. Like, you hold out a wedding date and turn down 4 other weddings, and then, like, the person backs out and you didn't have a deposit.
Oh, I would never
do
that.
So, yeah. I mean, charge enough to cover your hard costs. Because if you're having to spend $50 to make $100, you need to be charging them at least $50. Because then you're not in the hole if for some reason they back away. Mm-hmm. And don't feel bad charging up front if it's something that you need to charge up front for. I know if you're, like, a maker of an item, you know, sometimes that's not necessarily the case. But I think if you're doing a customed, like, a commissioned piece of artwork or something, you can totally do that. If they're buying a ready-made, like, print or something, obviously,
right,
you're not going to, like, charge them up front for it. But if it's, like, a creative job where you're making something that you're having to output a lot of time and money, a lot mm-hmm. of times they'll think, well, I don't have the finished product, so I can walk away without buying it, but you've already put in hours.
Right.
So anyway, keeping track of your budget, watching your cash flow, and just making sure that you're not, and also not biting off more than you can chew. If you can only make 10 of those things, don't sell 150. And then take the money from the 150 people when there's no physical way you can produce 150.
I saw... Okay, so I was just about to say, I feel so spoiled right now.
Okay.
Because photography is so simple.
You just gotta, like, edit. It's not simple. Don't undersell it, but I know what you mean.
The mental admin game of it is very simple because I'm a one-woman show. I have no employees. I have no storefront. I work from my home, and I have all my equipment paid for.
And
I have a digital product that they don't get until they've paid me. So there's mm-hmm. there's no like...
Loop-de-hole.
Wait a minute.
However, No. I'm going to say, you just listed a whole bunch of things that are right choices you've made mm-hmm. because you've made right choices. It's not because photography's easy. Because there's probably a bunch of photographers out there that are like, oh man, I'm not doing any of that. I have all these people who already have their pictures and I haven't gotten any money. You know? Okay. So you've made the choice not to have a storefront. There's a lot of photographers that have storefronts.
Right.
You made the choice to set up a system in which they don't get their pictures until they've paid you.
Right.
And you've made a choice to whatever the other, you know, have them have in no digital employees. Format and have no employees. Right. And not have, those are all smart business choices and why you've been successful in a profitable company mm-hmm. for as long as you have. And I think sometimes too, you're dangling between the line of, like, looking like you've made it and, like, actually making it.
Right.
Where it's like sometimes the, you know, huge building and, like, 25 employees and really cool website and we're, like, sponsoring everything in the chamber mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, their bottom line could be the same as, like, the one-woman photographer who's, like, killing it, who doesn't even have a storefront because she's like, just doing it with my kids.
Whose profit margin is way larger because there's no overhead. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, budget, cash flow.
I've kept it very simple. My dad is always like, you've turned down weddings? Well, why don't you hire people under you? And I'm like, nah, because I know my skill set and I know my limits and I don't want to spend my time trying to manage how someone else is shooting a wedding I'm not present for. It's just that sounds like I'd have no peace of mind ever. So it's kind of like you have to make choices based on how much, realistically, how much you think you can actually manage as a business owner. And some people would kill it. Some people I think are even lean more toward admin than creative. And the best fit would be for them to mm-hmm. eventually be a manager of creative people.
Oh, yeah.
And no longer to do creative. I would, no.
Are you telling me I need to quit my job and just manage you?
Oh, my gosh. Please manage me.
Wait a minute.
That's what this podcast is, Shaylee. You're managing my creative ideas because I would not have produced them if there weren't for you.
Really. Katie. But I also
you're like,
think...
No, it really is Tuesday. No, we really have not released really
What time are you going to be here? I think so, too. There's different photographers that are able to get a staff and do it really well.
Right.
And there's a lot of photographers who get a fancy storefront, have the biggest booths at the shows, and have a staff and are no longer in business.
Right.
So.
Right.
manage your money.
It depends on what you want your life to look like, too. I always come back to that.
Totally. Jonathan and I have the talk of, like, what do we want? Do we want a big business and employees? And, like, no, we like the flexibility of having a small business. We want to do a niche market, do it really well, work with a bunch of people,
collaborate. There's a story. Get ready for this. I'm ready. Citation. There's a story printed on a sign at Jimmy John's. All the Jimmy John's. So if next time you're in a Jimmy John's, look for it. But I always come back to this when I was kind of trying to decide what I wanted my business to look like. But it's like a story about this like little fisherman who made enough fishing to feed his family. Uh-huh. And he was, I mean, he was pretty consistent. And he was pretty good at it. And then some savvy, he lived in like a tiny little village and he like fished till noon and then he fed his family and then he went on with his life and his
afternoon. Fish till you have enough to feed your family.
Yeah. And the salesperson came over and was like, if you upped your equipment, you could be making twice as, you know, have twice as much fish and then you could have twice as many employees. And if you did this, this, and this, you'd be making so much, you know, fish or whatever. Uh-huh. Anyway, and so he goes, and then what would happen? Well, and then you could produce this factory and then you'd be making this and okay. And then what? And then what? And then he goes, and then you'd be making so much money that you could, you know, like have your afternoons off to like to do whatever you wanted and, you know, have all this time to spend with your family. Oh. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, but that's what I'm doing now.
That's what I'm doing now, and it seems like a lot less to manage.
And you don't know what happens between point A and point B.
Right.
Life?
Right.
That's good.
I was like, thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, John. Jimmy Johns. You're freaky fast.
You were freaky fast. You were too fast. I almost didn't get to that story.
Yeah, no kidding. You're like, can you take another second on my sandwich? It took her 3 sandwich trips to read the whole story. No, that's good. So, okay. So then there's certain things you need to do daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly.
Yep. Annually if you're...
Me, probably.
If you're naughty.
Yeah. Yeah, if you wait until the end of the year, which it's tax season right now, so this is probably a good time to be telling everyone what they should have done. We'll act like we're so on it. We're starting tips for 2017.
There you go. That's a good
spin. Don't worry about 2016. You'll get through it.
Yeah.
Maybe. And these will be ideas for 2017. And that's the other, I've also gotten behind in bookkeeping before and thought, well, I've got to finish 2016 before I can even worry about 2017.
Right.
By the time I finish, it's April and I'm 3 months late into 2017. So it's like, no, start this year fresh, start doing it right.
Right.
Wade your way through 2016, figure it out, but like start doing it right. So watching your budget, cash flow, invoices, vendor payments, customer payments, those are all things weekly if it's a smaller business and you're not doing like a ton of transactions.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're pretty busy, then I think it'd be, you know, at some point in your day, you're like first thing when you're checking your emails, you kind of check through that. I would say maybe 3 times a week would be probably more in line with what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week if you're smaller, check your, you know, any of your shops you have to make sure you don't have any messages and make sure you're invoicing your clients, because I know a lot of creatives that aren't making money because they haven't invoiced the people that need to be paying them money because they just can't wrap their mind around sitting down long enough to like get that invoice out. And I'm like, well, that's literally the reason you're doing everything you're doing. That's the only way you're going to be able to do this and make money is invoicing. Like they are sitting there waiting for an invoice before they're going to write you a check.
Right.
So, invoice your people. Also, don't let the tax mail scare you. Tax mail is mail that comes from the tax people and from the IRS. And there was one time where I was paying all of the taxes I should be, but I wasn't coding it right on the paperwork because it's very confusing. And so they were just taking my money and putting it into like tax purgatory and not putting it where it should be, but they had it all, which I guess if you're going to do something wrong in taxes, that's like the best defense.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, you have my money. It goes here.
Right.
So it ended up being this thing where I just had to file paperwork telling them like, oh, that goes there. You have it all. So just move it from purgatory to like there.
Right.
And they were fine, but like they sent me certified mail and I got it during a garage sale and it like made me so nervous because they make you like sign for it and it's like, this is your last notice and you will die and we'll arrest you.
Right.
Print
your name in the paper.
Right. So not to say don't worry about it because take your tax mail seriously. Don't put it in a corner and look at it once a year because you will be really in a mess.
Right.
But everything sounds big and scary. They're probably not going to, like, shut you down unless you've gotten, like, a lot of certified mail that you've ignored. Mm-hmm. But read through it and don't be afraid to ask for help. So don't try to do it on your own. There is a reason that you are a gifted painter and are doing that for a living. And there is a reason why the CPA does that day in and day out because he's really good at it.
That's his paint.
Yeah, that's his paint. Your numbers are his paint. Your shoebox full of receipts.
He's like, no!
Yeah, no. Put it in the computer.
Digitize it.
But I think, too, even when I had a CPA or an accountant that was helping me, I didn't want to email them and ask them questions because I felt dumb.
Right.
Or I was like, oh, I should know what this paperwork is and I don't. Like, no, you shouldn't. No, that's literally why they exist. They know.
I went to public school.
Yeah. I went to a 4-year college and still didn't know what that is. So take a screenshot and scan it in and email it over. I mean, that's literally what I do. Every time I get a piece of mail, we have a payroll company that does our payroll. So quarterly, I get all the paperwork and I like send them shots. I'm like, hey, I'm just passing this along. I'm not doing anything with it. If I should be,
right,
let me know. Right. And they'll go, okay, we're sending it over to taxes.
Right.
And I think even having a payroll company was like night and day, which you only need a payroll company if you're going to have actual, you don't need it if you're a sole proprietor. So anyway,
getting deep into admin.
But don't feel dumb and get a support team around you. Don't be a hero. You can't do it all by yourself.
Right.
And you shouldn't. And you don't have to, like, have a really expensive CPA and, like, a payroll company and, like, whatever. But there's probably someone in your life that used to do bookkeeping for a business or something. Mm-hmm. Someone who's in school right now for accounting. We literally, my friend was in college for accounting and she came and helped us do TurboTax back in like 2009 mm-hmm. or whatever, the first year.
Right.
That Jonathan was out on his own. And then like an old employee at my dad's office that does like bookkeeping and payroll and that kind of thing. I hire her hourly to come and just help me make sure I have everything correct in the QuickBooks. Nice. And so it's like, I'm doing all the bookkeeping for our business and I'm doing like the tax stuff and I'm doing whatever, but I have like a little team of like people I can ask questions to,
right.
People who know what they're doing. And it's not that expensive because even if they charge you like, you know, $30 or $40 or $50 an hour, you probably realistically need them 2 to 5 hours like a year.
Right.
And so it's like, that's worth knowing at the end of the year when you file your taxes that you've done it correctly.
Right.
And that's worth, if the IRS ever comes around asking questions, that you've done it correctly. And they have some tips that are, you know, better at what you can write off, what you shouldn't write off. Right. There's some stuff that I'm like, I can write this off and I feel all fancy. And my CPA's like, yeah, but the money you'd save isn't worth the red flag that would be to the IRS.
Right.
Even if you're right.
Right.
Even if you have a 600 square foot home office.
Right.
Like, is there anything? Is there a TV in it? Is there an elliptical machine? Right. Is there anything in it that's not office? Because if they come, like, then it's not technically all office space. Right. It's just not even, you're not saving enough to make
that
worthwhile.
That 20 cents.
Right. Yeah. Right. That $3.50 is not worth an audit. That would be, right. You know, thousands of dollars. So anyway, but also on write-offs, on the topic of write-offs, admin tasks. And I'm terrible at mileage. I'm terrible.
Oh, me too.
I'm terrible. And that's like hundreds of dollars. Mm-hmm. That's like so much that you can write off. And I would say that's probably one of the number one things that creative people don't do because you have to think about it a lot. Mm-hmm. I use an app on my phone, which I've manually written it over the years. I've had a different app. I use Mileage IQ. And it's really good because it has a GPS thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically tracks it. I don't know how it can. It's a robot. I don't know how it can tell when I'm in the car, but it will say, like, you left from your house address and you went to this place over on Battlefield. Like, was that for business or was that personal?
Nice.
And you swipe right. It's like the Tinder of mileage. You swipe right if it's for business. Swipe left if it's for personal.
Wow.
And then you can get really detailed about, like, what car I drove, what starting mileage, and what – was it a client meeting? Was it a work meeting? Was it charity? Was it – so right. You can get really detailed. But if you're, like, the person that's, like, never kept mileage, then you can also just, like, I'm just going to swipe right or left. And that's better than nothing. And that's, like, right. Where I'm at. But that's – that's a really important
mileage
one.
IQ.
Mileage IQ. I'll link it.
Do you want to hear a terrible procrastinator's approach to
mileage
that is going to...
Yeah, tell me.
That's going to like...
How do you do your mileage, Katie? Is it going to make me sweat?
Well, you know, I think I'm going to do mileage IQ is what I'm going to do.
From now on?
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
Well, keep in mind I have a very simple business.
Yeah.
So like,
you do. And you are... it's more simplified. But you've created it that way.
Right. Let's say last year was my most simple year because I shot 10 weddings. Mm-hmm. And that's all I shot.
Yeah. But meetings for the weddings, getting a lens cleaned at the place, that all
Which
counts.
Neither happened.
Okay.
I had 10 exact weddings and 10 exact corresponding engagement shoots. So I had a list of 20 things and then I Google mapped at the end.
I've done that before.
From my house because I almost shoot at very similar places. And I was like, oh, that one? I have like a cheat sheet of like, if it's this venue, I already know
22
it's like,
miles.
Exactly, 22 miles. Round trip, 44 miles.
Yeah.
I live in the country.
But technically, from an admin standpoint,
right,
you should have your starting odometer.
Right.
And your ending.
But it has the, in my program, it has the yearly starting and the yearly ending.
So you just have to guess one that sounds right in there?
No. That's the only two things I have to input.
Oh, okay.
So they know the grand total miles of the year, and if the odometer's like not over that, they're like, "Ooh, red flag." As long as it's over that. But I don't recommend doing. I don't recommend doing what I do, but just to level with people.
No, that's good. Oh, I sound really like I'm on top of it, but I'm weeding through all my mileage. I'll do like really good the first like 6 months, and then I'll like stop, and then I'll go back and like do 2 months at a time. But the good thing about the app.
Right.
It is a paid app. It's not free. There's a lot of free ones out there that you can use. It's just a little more labor intensive. I need like the easiest.
Right.
I need to like do it for me and then let me come back and just swipe around.
Right.
That's what I need.
That's really smart.
Yeah. But I can go back and it saves all my drives.
Right.
So like then if I'm at like, instead of having to do it every single time, if I'm at a doctor's appointment and if I can't remember like, where was I June 27th? I can go back in my calendar.
Right.
And be like, well, I didn't have any work appointments.
Right.
So that must have all been personal. So yeah, and you can keep two different cars. There's a, you know, it's you still have to do the work, but it makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, admin. Setting aside dedicated day a week, day a month would even be great.
Admin day.
Yeah, and if you're doing nothing right now, if you're like saving everything in Excel to your desktop or on Google Drive or whatever, like that's still
Word
good.
Docs.
Yeah, Word docs. Not to discount what you're doing, that's great start. But maybe do like, I'm going to do one admin day a month and I'm going to, and this is starting from you're not digging out of a hole of 4 years of a successful business where you've been doing nothing, then you need more than that to like get to a good neutral. But one admin day a month, I'm going to go through my bank account statements. I'm going to reconcile everything in QuickBooks. You enter everything and then you reconcile it at the end. And then that's how you make sure that your accounts of what you spent and everything are even, which I didn't know what that was until the lady who does the bookkeeping was like, now let's reconcile. And I was like, excuse me? What's that? So now I know, but I didn't at the time. So where you just make sure like, okay, February's good. And if it's not, you can figure it out when it's just February instead of like, February's not good. And now March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, all the way through December, since I'm doing everything now in January of the following year for my taxes, you know, make sure that you didn't mess up in February and then the whole year's off because you made a mess in February. You can catch it that month.
Right.
So.
Your job is so much more complicated.
It's not. I mean, maybe more complicated.
I have 20 transactions a year. And they're all the exact amount.
Okay.
Same amount.
This may not apply, but even if it's small. Keeping track of it and not being like, I'm so small, it doesn't even matter. I don't even need to write off my stuff because I don't even do much.
The amount isn't small. Heyo!
Heyo!
There's no business like wedding business because brides be tripping.
Brides be.
They just be spending daddy's dollars. They be giving it to Katie Day. Katie goes and buys her kids food. Hooray! And that's it. That's all I buy.
Her children are very obese.
They
eat all the food. So, even if you're small, it's important. That was so intricate. I don't think I can follow.
Well, you know, I needed to insert some personality into this.
That was
I always thought Shaylee was cool until this episode.
Nerd! Like, I'm enjoying it a little. I have a spreadsheet of the episode outline.
I can't believe it. You're just as giddy as the fashion episode. You're like, and then you swipe right if it's for
and
business.
And then you swipe right and then you swipe left. It's when it's all on you, it's exciting stuff. And I'm right in the middle of it with tax season. I'm kind of feeling good.
You enjoy tax season.
I enjoy getting
That's
done
hilarious.
With it. It's very like, we're finished. I will also say I work... on the business stuff and then also like oversee Jonathan's thing. So he has the luxury of there's a lot of things that he does that are stressful and technical that I don't know how to do that he has to own.
Right.
I'll start with that.
Right.
But keeping is not one of them. I own that.
Right.
And so it gets really messy when you wait till the end of the year, which I have this year, and then you start looking at like PayPal and right. Amazon and eBay, and there's just all these charges, and you're like, or right. or stuff that's not business specific. Let's say you have a credit card and you're going to put like a business piece of equipment on it, but then you also use it for something else.
Right.
And then you have to kind of go through and decipher. It's not just a strict business account.
Right.
You have to go back and decide. And if it's like $150 and you're like, that was for like business stuff. They're like, what is it?
Right.
So like we buy a lot of electronics and hard drives and pieces of computers right. and that kind of thing. And then there's a lot of buying it, seeing if it works, sending it back. There's a 20% restocking fee. So it's right. not just a straight in and out. So that's the type of thing. This is preaching to the choir myself. If I did every single month, and I made Jonathan sit down with me, which he would do if I asked every mm-hmm. single month, it'd be a lot easier to remember than like, in March,
right?
What was this piece of equipment for $58? Basically, you can't just wait till the end of the year. You can, but your life will be sad or messy. And then 4 years from now, the tax man will come and it won't be good. All right. So what else do I have? Admin task. Any... Okay, so those are my main admin task points, but I would say as someone who's handling it and is like slightly good at it, but still creative and gets like confused a lot, my main overarching piece of advice would be don't be afraid to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Find people, a team of people to help you, mm-hmm. and they don't have to be expensive
mm-hmm.
people. Sometimes they can be, so ask up front.
Yeah.
And then make sure... Yeah, no question's a dumb question. I ask questions all the time or said, hey, I'm going to be honest. I haven't logged into our payroll software and I have no idea what you guys have been doing, but I trust you. But like, what's my password? Like, how do you work this? That maybe happened the other day. But don't be afraid to ask questions and then learn it. Don't learn the language of the program. You don't have to be a CPA, but don't be dumb
right.
about it. Right. Just like you know... all the different textures of paints, just like you know how to work a camera and just like you know all of the intricate things that would sound like a foreign language to
right.
a CPA, learn enough to be able to communicate with them so when they give you advice, you're not like, uh-huh, because you're like embarrassed to ask.
Right.
But you actually understand Google stuff. If they say something you don't know, there's all the times I'm like, P&L, and then I'm like, oh, profit loss. I know what that is. There's a button for that in QuickBooks, and then you right. can see kind of where you're at. So keeping a pulse on your business. Mm. Start small.
Right.
But you have to do it. Because I think with admin and administrative tasks in business, creatives ignore it
mm-hmm.
until it becomes a problem.
Love it.
And then you're in a mess.
Love it.
Lists are your friend. If only there was like a printable calendar with like goal buckets, lists. And like day-by-day plans for me to help.
But there is!
For me to help organize my life. Plung! The sponsor of this episode is Mod Print Shop.
Do I have to give you money?
Designed, yeah, 5% of all sales.
Darn it!
Designed by Katie Day. What's your middle name?
It doesn't work unless it's Catherine.
Renee?
No.
I just guessed.
So Catherine, you're guessing Renee?
Marie?
It starts with an M. It's a very uncommon
middle Mary?
Name. Mara. Catherine Melissa.
Melissa Joan Hart.
My Catherine. Name is Catherine Melissa Joan Hart Day.
Day.
It's Catherine very uncommon.
Melissa Day.
It's very uncommon, although there is one other person whose name is actually
Melissa.
Melissa Joan Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's that everyone. Was unusual.
As long as you put Catherine before it, people won't get confused.
Right.
Good. All that's good to know. So Catherine.
Yes.
Has a really cute printable calendar. I've posted about it once on our Instagram, and I gave one of her calendars away. I'm pretty sure I posted it, and then texted her, like, hey, I'm giving one of your calendars away.
I said, that will be $12.
Yeah, she said, that will be $12. I said, I'll take it out of your paycheck.
Oh, jokes.
Yeah, any lists, obviously,
yeah,
is sponsoring, and obviously, like, a no-brainer for, like, admin tasks, get stuff done, but I just kind of wanted to break down the whole, like,
right.
what you need to be putting on the lists.
No, that's great. So, here's what I'm going to say. I would like to do another episode I'll tease it.
Oh, okay.
Where we get like nitty gritty the day in the life of Shaylee, admin master. And you talk about how you manage emails, how you manage Ooh. Your to-do lists, how Ooh. Often you check them, how do you motivate yourself. But I think this was really good for like literally this felt like business 101, like in a great way. Like I can think of 5 people in the last month that have emailed me, I want to be a wedding photographer, where do I start? Or I want to open a business, where do I start? And I was like,
you drive downtown, you need to get yourself a $25 right, but business license.
It's an overwhelming question because it's like, well, how much time do you have? How many articles are you willing to read? Because I don't know that I could write it all out. But that's basically what we've done here. So really good job.
I wrote it out with my mouth. I put a pen in my mouth and I wrote it out and I checked everything off my list.
Oh no, that's right. That's my voice for check marks.
Oh my gosh.
.com.
Check marks.
Okay, yeah. So we're just in time for our segment. Shaylee doesn't know what it is. But you heard earlier how good she is at spelling.
I can spell with the worst of them.
But you really impressed me tonight with your, just all the numbers you threw around.
I'm a numbers whiz.
So we're going to do surprise math contest.
Oh gosh. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry.
Okay. We'll start. We'll do 3 rounds. First round's really easy.
Okay.
Let's do 8 + 9.
17.
Good. Did you do the little trick?
I did. Yeah, I did like 9 + 1 and then take that away from 7. No, 8.
7. Maybe it's better if you don't show your work.
Yeah, I didn't show my work.
Okay.
I'm a genius.
That was addition.
That's kind of a hard one.
Okay.
Oh gosh, I don't.
Let's do multiplication.
I remember, hold on, inserting this. I remember in elementary school, they were like, you're going to need to know this someday. And then I was like, no, I don't have a calculator.
This is what this is the moment they were talking about. Okay. Multiplication. Mm-hmm. 7. Times 4.
28.
Yeah! Woohoo! Okay. Final round.
Oh, okay. I passed.
Division.
Okay.
Okay.
Your money divided by what taxes takes equals not enough.
54.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Divided by 9.
What? Are you kidding me?
Think about it. 5, 4, 54.
Shut up.
Divided by 9.
54 divided by 9, so 4. What? You're trying to make it like that makes it easier.
It does.
5. Okay, hold on. This is going to take entirely too long, but I'm doing it.
I can attest she has no calculator. She looks a bit like Good Will Hunting, where he goes into his mind palace.
I can't think when you're talking.
Well, I just want to narrate.
Okay, hold on.
She's got her finger in the air. It looks like it's making some type of stroke. Tally marks, 20, perhaps.
30.
Maybe she's making a long division.
I'm trying to count up from 9 and see where it gets me. It's not a fraction, is it? Hold on.
No, it's not.
Hold on. 54 divided by 9.
54 divided by 9. If you've solved it already, please comment on our Instagram photo.
Hold on. 6?
Yay!
Is it really 8?
Yeah.
This is what I did. Katie was talking, not like you need to know my method, but I kept doing 9, not 2 9s is 18, so then 4 9s is, and then I like got into the 30s, and then she'd talk, and I'd be like, okay, 2 9s is 18, 4 9s is, and then she'd start talking, and then I was like, okay, well, that's in the 30s, so like 6?
Well, everything that's divisible by 9 is... You can add the 2 together to get 9, right? So you know 54 is 5 + 4 = 9. So you know it's divisible by 9.
Okay, yeah, right. Everyone knows
and
that.
And if it starts with a 5, you know that the 1 up is the answer, so.
Oh, what?
Right. Yeah.
No, I did not remember
okay,
the trick.
Okay, it's multiplication, but you're doing it in reverse. So
I
the 9s are the
teach
easy
me,
one.
Katie. I did not
Listen,
ask you to teach me.
I'm a homeschooler.
Okay, wait. So I'm sorry. Seriously, though, I do want to know.
Okay.
So... If it starts with a 5, it's divisible by 9.
No.
Because
if,
9 plus
if
1.
If the two-digit number...
Plus the second number, it's 1 up, it's 6.
Right. But if the two-digit number, 5, 4...
So it's 55 divided by 9.
You add 5 and 4 together, and you know that it's going to be divisible by 9 because it equals 9.
Okay, I do remember this
like
now.
81.
If the two numbers added together equal 9,
81,
it's divisible by 9.
72.
But how does that work? Is that...
63.
Oh, I guess that makes sense because those are the numbers that you're dividing.
54.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
45.
So you tried to make it easy.
36. I did.
I made it
hard. I tried
hard.
To lob one over the net.
I made it hard. Guys, I got there.
She's got software.
I got there. I ain't be doing subtraction and division with QuickBooks. Or my phone. Or my pencil and paper.
If you're just tuning in, Shaylee's a master admin in spite of the fact that she can't divide.
I don't math good.
54 by 9, but you actually can.
Or spell. Guys, be encouraged. I can't spell, I can't math.
I can't math.
And I'm a successful businesswoman.
God bless America. The American dream.
American dream. America. Shaylee and Katie, the podcast, was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. We love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com, because we love you.
Too soon?
Always too soon. Don't too soon me. We're going steady.